So we have been having deliberations and conversations around both synchronous and asynchronous, i.e. real-time, as well as recorded messages of introduction, both by our administrators, our principals, assistant principals, as well as some of our teachers, so that there can be a welcoming environment for all of our stakeholders, given the very abrupt nature of the closure as it happened last year. So that's one of the things we have been talking in this subcommittee or subgroup, is how do we build these welcoming methods to ensure that our families and our students feel welcome, and they get to know or become acquainted or reacquainted in some instances with their principal and their teachers. Next slide. The other aspect, or another subgroup we have in our committee is, or in our work group, is the operations work group. So here we've been examining and looking at nutrition services, transportation, and our overall operations. So nutrition services, a quick highlight, is the fact that we've offered over 1 million meals since the school closures began. We're currently operating under federal and state waivers that have allowed us to be able to do that in a very flexible manner. And so the California Department of Education has requested additional waivers for the next school year, i.e. 2020-2021, so that we can have those similar flexibilities. At this point, we are awaiting final decision by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. However, we are beginning to make contingency planning in case those waivers are not extended. In the transportation area, we are looking at the requirements for physical distancing. We're looking at the requirements for special education, as well as having conversations with our special education department to assess the nature of reopenings for non-public schools. And lastly, our financial considerations for purposes of transportation. Additionally, in the area of operations, what we've been looking at and assessing in order to make these recommendations are inventory management. How can we be as efficient as possible? So we're working closely with our purchasing department, which manages the district warehouse. We're also taking feedback from our classified staff, both at the school sites and at the district office, particularly as the need for physical distancing, whether it be plexiglass or some type of physical barrier, for the staff that comes in interaction with the public, whether they be parents, vendors, or any other member of the public that comes onto our very busy schools. So we've been looking at methods to ensure that all of our sites have safety in mind. And with that, I'll ask Dr. Salkel to cover the financial considerations.
Thank you, Dr. Aguita. Good evening, everyone. So in regards to what has been shared and how we can support the schools and departments for the reopening of school, there are various funding sources that have come up recently. The first column here is the CARES Act, which is the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act, which was passed by the federal government. Those funding sources, $8.2 million has been noted on this slide here on the left, has already been allocated to the school district. In terms of an appropriation, we have to submit first and foremost an application for those funds before we can start to submit for reimbursement. But those are part of the direct stimulus for the school district as part of that act. It can only be used on online learning expenditures, cleaning supplies, and PPE or personal protective equipment, as an example, related to sanitation. Those funds can be or need to be used by September 30th. If that's the expended date, is at that point, 30th, 2022. There's another element of the CARES Act and what was introduced in the governor's, Governor Newsom's budget proposal in May, which is through the state. The goal related to that funding is to mitigate learning loss. We are still awaiting the California Department of Education and the Department of Finance estimate. This is where there's been quite a bit of debate with the state legislature and the governor's office on that allocation and that related methodology. So once we do have that, hopefully here within the next week or so, once the governor approves the budget, we'll have that amount. However, it does require that an instructional continuity plan be submitted on how those funds will be expended. And we do have, and then just a correction on here, it's December 30th of this year. So it's actually only a 6-month window. So it should be 2020 in that regard. So that's that piece as it relates to the federal government. There was also under the CARES Act a waiver issued through the U.S. Department of Education as it relates to our title monies, which is also federal in nature. However, it was focused on any remaining balances at the end of this fiscal year that are not spent by schools. Those remaining funds, and it's kind of a carryover, there's a threshold that you can have that's limited. You can only have no more than 15% on an annual basis. So they've granted waivers that if you have an amount greater than, and allowed the flexibility to where you can apply those monies towards technology purchases. The other item that's aside here from what's noted here on the federal, we also at the state level received funds in late March of about $644,000 as part of the Senate Bill 117. And that those monies have already been earmarked. The board did take action in mid-April for student devices for a purchase of about $1.5 million. So that $644,000 was applied towards that. And then we'll be analyzing these particular funding sources, either the Title I or this direct stimulus amount as part of that remaining amount that will cover that $1.5 million purchase. So these are the funding sources to address these additional costs. So I'll now transition to Dr. Ana Maria Alvarez.
Thank you, Dr. Salchad. I appreciate it. Deanne, if we can go to the next slide. So the teaching and learning team had five separate committees. These subcommittees were aligned to support students and staff for the opening of school. Although many topics were covered during our subcommittee meetings, the four most relevant areas included, how do we continue to support our diverse learners? Which type of scheduling options would best fit the transition in and out of distance learning if needed? How would we address the concerns from students and parents and staff regarding multiple platforms used as learning management systems, and also the development of a Sweetwater High School virtual school. The last committee that is not noted on here is focused on distance learning, development of curriculum, and development of professional development and refinement of curriculum. That is being addressed by a selected group of teachers that we will go through the post and bid process. Next. So in our first subcommittee, which was focused on our diverse learners, it really was meant to engage all stakeholders and to identify which students were included in our diverse learners. We included students with disabilities, English learners, students needing economic resources, students in the foster care or homeless situation, and any other student having difficulty during this time. Five major approaches were developed from this committee. The first was to ensure that we had methods and mechanisms to connect students to resources through personal outreach. This really focused on ensuring that each child, each student, had one person to connect with throughout the distance learning process. The committee also believed that communication with students' families through different modalities was crucial. Understanding that some of our families did not have connectivity or devices led to the development of phone trees and potential home visits as other means of communication. This also included communication through different social media platforms and other forms of outreach. As we open the new school year, it's crucial that we welcome families and students to the school environment and provide an overview and access to available services. This is even going to be more essential for incoming seventh graders, our incoming ninth graders, and those students new to the district. We've developed a plan to ensure that these student outreaches and services are made known throughout the community to all its members. It's crucial that we welcome these families and make sure that their resources are accessible. As we navigate through this pandemic and ever-changing landscape, different approaches needed to be ensured so that our students, families, and staff members were safe. We also looked how to prioritize students' needs and the interaction that may need smaller group campus settings where students would go to classrooms. This last approach we felt was crucial for our diverse learners was making sure that we had available community resources and agency partnerships to provide wraparound services. Next slide. So the second subcommittee really focused on how to ensure that the schedule students had and the schedule teachers had for distance learning